go ahead and call the meeting in order for the, yeah, Cedar Rapids Historic Preservation Commission meeting for Thursday, October 25th. Excuse my voice, I've been doing a lot of touring and we opened up the museum lately, so I've been talking, so everyone kind of please bear with my voice today. A little bit, call the meeting to order. We want to do roll call initially. Lauren?
Mark Stouffer Hunter.
Here.
Tim Oberbrockley.
Here.
Todd McNall. Ron Musman.
Here.
Rod Lohr. Crystal Walter.
Here.
Diana Pagan.
Present.
Arthur Camp.
Okay, thank you, Lauren. We'd like to acknowledge our guest, starting with the first row, if you can briefly say your name and if you're here for a particular agenda item or not.
Sure. Celeste Jaquist, I'm here in regards to the 1745 carriages.
Bart Woods, I'm here for the same.
Appreciate it, the utilities department, the exterior resource.
Charlie Nichols, I'm a new employee with community development, so I'm just here to see how this is run.
Okay, very good. Thanks, Rachel.
We manage to save the Sierra Heritage, and I've got a public comment.
Okay, very good. Thanks, Cindy. Okay. This is the time for a public comment for our meeting today, so if, Cindy, if you want to make a public comment, report, is that related to an agenda?
Yeah, it is. The river intake station, we keep hearing that there's nothing the city can do to save these buildings from demolition, but this is a different story. We'd really like to see this building saved, and I'd ask the HBC and the city to come together to come up with a plan to save it. If you can't do that, and I think we should name it after Mark Stouffer Hunter, who's done so much for the city. But if you can't do that, please offer it for bids, because there's a huge amount of public interest in this, and people are willing to do what they can to save it.
Anything else? Great, thank you so much, Red. But appreciate it. Any other wish to speak during public comment period? This is the time to do that. Anything on the agenda? Okay, seeing none, we'll close that section of the meeting, and we need to next approve the meeting minutes from our last.
I'll make a motion to approve.
My second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Minutes are approved from our earlier meeting this month. We have presentations on the agenda, but Adam, we do not have the presentations, is that correct? Okay, so we are really moving right along here. Action items, we have 4A, two certificate of appropriateness. We've learned, of course, we have two guests here that are here for action item 4A2, and I'd like to ask Commissioner to go ahead and address that first to be respectful of our guest time.
Thank you.
So, and you're more than welcome to stay there during the presentation, and or you can come up here.
I have this seat all warmed up.
Okay, very good.
I got your back.
Okay. Adam, yes.
Okay, so we have a carriage house built in 1910. It's a very distinct house on the corner of 18th and 2nd. The project is to convert the carriage house into office space. There's a two-car garage door that would be replaced with a combination of windows and just, I guess, wall material. Also, want to add exterior access to the second level. So here's an image looking at the front of the garage. So you can see the garage door there that would be replaced. This side, so the house is just off to the left. The south side of the garage there is where the access would be added to the second story. And then we have some elevations of what will be done here. All the windows will be wood. So this is the garage door, what it would look like afterwards. And then there, so that's the south side where the stairs would be added to the second story. So again, all the windows would be wood windows with composite trim. The stairs would be composite material with aluminum railing. Just looking at the guidelines with windows, of course, replace windows with home's original window material, which is what is being done. If you can go to the next. So again, these are the criteria for making a decision. And a recommendation from staff is to approve as submitted. And then, of course, the commission can either approve the request as submitted, approve with modifications that are agreeable to the applicant, deny the application, or request additional information. And Bart Woods is here, and he can answer any questions that you may have about the project.
Bart, Celeste, I remember you representing Mission Hope. Mission.
House of Hope.
House of Hope. Or Lots of Hope.
Thank you.
So glad you're here. Thank you. Do commission members have any questions for Mr. Woods? Or
is this a house that we have to take the window out to lower the kitchen cabinets?
Yes.
Yep.
Perfect. Lauren, could you go back two slides, please? Should not be added at locations where they did not originally exist.
When was the garage door added?
It was farther in. It was like a Hillcrest.
Okay. Services.
Yeah, services, right. And so it was already in place when it was purchased.
Would it help the commission if we had the drawings of each side of it? Go over one side at a time.
They are.
It's hard to focus on all
three.
Yeah. So maybe we focus on that side. You've already had a question about Crystal, which is this side. Mm-hmm. And you had asked about doors not being added where doors were before, but of course, whatever was there originally has been long gone.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's looking like to me like the aperture size is going to be retained. It's just that instead of a current garage door, you're going to be placing these elements in there instead. So don't be cutting any different size holes or.
That is correct.
Yeah.
And just to retain that, that is the street facing side. So initially we were looking, I mean, that's really a door size up on the second level up there. And so we had the stairs on that side at first, and it just really detracted. So that's why we moved the stair around to the side and had it put a door into the
side.
It looks
like that was originally a door.
Right, it does.
Right, it was, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
It was, yeah. And I know, Chris, we had a question about the lower. The only question I know I have is the arch window up above that's being retained. I said is.
Yes, windows are existing windows are being retained.
Existing windows are all being retained because that's kind of the signature or actual feature.
Agreed.
Is the kind of quasi Palladian window design up there in the second floor.
The composite fascia, is that, what is composite? I'm sorry. Is that
so
wood?
This is just it's a compressed wood.
Okay, so it's wood. That's fine.
Yeah.
So I just wasn't sure.
So what you're going to be concerned about is we're looking at the guidelines and those. Please, well, if we don't.
Can we go back to the guidelines?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Tim and Ron, you had your hands open too. Tim, will you first or Ron?
I think we're going to talk about the same thing. We're concerned about metal versus wood.
Yeah, where was that? That's what I was looking for too.
I'm also concerned about placement.
Placement of?
The second story access being so visible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that there's any room on the back side. Is that the alley
side? That's where actually where we wanted to. We went from the front of it to put it on the back, but we're like 3 feet off the property line, so the fire, that's not a recognized exit then, mm-hmm. when it's that close to our side yard.
And putting it inside takes away all your usable space.
There's one inside that we worked through with the city to get that improved because, of course, it doesn't meet any current rise or run.
Mm-hmm.
And so they approved leaving the existing one in that could be used by staff because they'd be familiar with how treacherous it could be.
Mm-hmm.
But for public, they definitely wanted a different stair. They're going to require a separate stair.
Do you have a picture of the staircase, looking at the staircase? We're seeing it from the side.
Yes.
There we go.
still would have a wood cap on it. The whole stair structure is all going to be wood. It's just with today's codes and the 4-inch, when you start putting using wood baluster, it's going to, it gets bulky. And I think this actually looks more appropriate for what would have been there a long time ago than today.
And is that a door in the bottom left?
That is an existing, well, it's an old metal sliding door. So we're going to put a window into that
can
door.
Go to one of the photos.
You can leave that old metal sliding door there.
This one?
Yeah, you can see it.
Right here.
Yeah, right there.
Yeah.
The stairs would go where the window is right there? Is that what I'm...
The upper windows.
The upper window?
Yep.
That does significantly change the property look.
Gotcha.
Making these changes, is that really going to make it not eligible to be a contributing factor to this property? Are we so changing it that it's...
Yeah, it's a percentage of how much it's being changed. I mean, the carriage house will still exist. The one thing I like about the window design where there was previously a door is that the shape of the door will still be there. It will be a window now, mm-hmm. but you can still tell the narrative that there was a door there because we're not... Remember, one of the biggest criteria for maintaining a property in the National in a Historic District or as a historic property is the retention of the, I'll use the word apertures again, so you're not changing the form, so we wouldn't, that wouldn't be happening on this side, but, so I actually don't have too much of a problem myself about the side facing 18th Street because the shape of the door will be retained even though it will be a window, so interpretively it will be the same. And the opening down below, the styles of the doors that are being proposed seem to match more what is on the house and the rest of the carriage house already, but there is this issue of they will be changing the windows into a door on this side, but this is the side facing the house, and
it's
we do
two
have
windows up there.
Carriage houses, the impact is minimal if it's not. They're not doing any major impacts to the alley facing side or the 18th Street facing side. I want to keep that in mind. That the main alteration is going to happen towards the non-street visible. You and we've always made that a priority, you know, when we remember how we allow changes on some of the houses in our historic districts on the non-street facing sides, and just kind of keep that in mind as we consider this.
This house actually.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Has zoning already approved this?
Yes.
Can we see again how much the windows will change? Because the windows look like they're about well
this
yeah, this view. So again, the width is not going to change for the spacing of the current windows to the enlargement of the door.
Correct. And that's why we put that little side light next to that door upstairs, because that is the total opening that's there today.
Okay.
Right. Right. So again, we get kind of that
keeps that
the trim up above is going to, again.
This is off the subject, but how did the other project turn out? Kitchen?
Perfect.
Wonderful and highly functional.
Yes.
It's such a cool problem.
It is.
All right. I mean, and there are no changes to the alley side at all. You know, you're not doing anything over there, so that's going to be sort of what it is. So, I mean, my personal opinion is that as long as we're not doing major changes to the alley side and form and shape wise, we're not seeing significant changes to the 18th Street side, we're actually seeing an improvement to where there's now a garage door. We're actually seeing something that's a little bit more conducive to the carriage house architectural design. I'd be willing to go for approval, but I want to hear the opinions of everyone else too. So,
is anyone familiar with our guidelines as far as exterior railings that aren't originally there?
Did we find something on railing issue? Or?
I don't think there's anything in the guidelines that talk about. A railing
well,
that's not.
Yeah, we should know too, but it seems like we talked about porch railings to go in.
Yeah, but that's for an existing porch. Right. Like if you're replacing something that's existing, I don't think it mentions anything about if you're putting in.
This is like a whole new staircase, yeah.
I just don't want to set precedents.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Is somebody else not going to come? Great, I want my aluminum deck.
Well, the one we could kind of work with that a little bit is that we could say we could consider approving. That it's not a facing the street and it's not facing the alley, and in that way you're not setting a precedent that this is allowed. For street facing and alley facing, and just as a consideration, okay? We could state that right in the in our motion. Okay?
Can you also put in the motion that none of the window or door openings are changing size?
Except for that, what those windows are.
Yeah, the only change we're seeing, just clarify, Bart, is just.
Doors can.
The length of these current windows are going to be enlarged, top to bottom, the rigid door.
Just that door.
Just the door.
The only opening size changes.
That's the only opening size that's changing.
It's that second level door.
Which is a minimal impact.
Laurie, can you back up for the actual house view or the carriage house view? That's good. I wanted to look at the roof line, make sure there was any changes there.
Oh.
So we need a motion.
Any motion? Madam Chair, can you do it?
I don't disagree about the aluminum part of it, even though it probably isn't a huge deal.
But we don't have a guideline.
Yeah, yeah.
We only have photographs on these two sides, right? We don't have photographs.
Yeah, these are all.
Oh, okay, yeah, so you just retain the overhangs that are already there. The one in the alley, the other one in the alley on the side there.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay.
I was going to abstain because the railings bother me, but you guys have been really, really decent to work with in the past. I'm very happy that you kept the character of the house, minus the one for the kitchen, which we worked through, and they do take care of the property, so I'm going to back out of my abstaining and make a motion to approve.
Okay. And you want to, with a couple of provisions with that.
Thing that it, however you phrase it, because I can't remember how you said it.
Well, I know I can't make the motion, but.
So you want to make clear that the reason why you're making the motion is because the openings, door and window openings, with the one exception, are not changing.
Yeah.
And it's not street
And it is not a public right-of-way facing side of the carriage house.
The one side it is changing.
Yes, correct.
Mm-hmm. We can make some statement to that effect, but that is our reasoning.
Yeah.
I just think that just puts in a safeguard for us if we have another issue like this.
Right. It's basically a set precedence on why we're doing it.
Right. It minimizes the problem.
The problems we have with this is if we start, we have leeway for the back sides and the sides that don't show from the street. If we start giving too much wiggle room, then your neighbors are going to come out and want to use. I'm thrilled using wood windows. But anything that, like, we just had new construction, first one in the area, and that took us about a year, I think, to get past, because it sets precedence for the people next to you, around you, buying after you.
Sure.
So we have to really be careful that we're looking down the road. Mm-hmm. And we don't set up anything that can allow the house to be part of it. Because it's hard to back up.
Understand. I own a house across the street and also down the block.
Well, then you better not make your neighbor.
Park's better.
So, did you get all that?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I'll second the motion.
Thank you, Crystal. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay.
Ron had an interesting question.
Yeah.
Since I made the motion, I can't abstain during the work, can I?
Or you could. I think you can. You can make a motion.
I don't want to hold things up. I'm just, could you guys look into that to see how that's played out? Well, not right now.
I mean, it would change the vote, but.
Well, I don't know. Maybe
it's whatever. Still going to pass.
I think technically you could abstain.
But it would be kind of silly to put something through.
To make a motion
to
abstain.
Just guess.
Yeah. That's something to question your mental health.
It might have died without a motion.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
We're bringing the motion up, he's not discussing.
Right.
It technically triggers discussion. That's how it usually should work, is there's a motion and there's discussion.
Right. Okay. So noted. Thank you. Appreciate you taking the time to talk.
Is there an existing door now where that door was? Or is that, is there an existing door where that door was?
We're trying to maintain as much as we can on sand as well.
Oh, I didn't go check it out. Every time I pass out, what was the story about the house that I just kept stopping here?
What side is that? The second, the picture on the right? Yeah.
It's behind, there's, it's right next to a bank, so I just basically went in the bank's driveway and got a picture of behind.
Oh, so that's an alley?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And that garage is for the house?
Next to it.
Next to it, okay.
Yeah, this one, yeah.
Got it.
You can keep it over. Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay, I'm just checking.
Okay, action item 4A1, 1835 Third Avenue Southeast. We are looking at a porch.
Okay, so house on a triangle parcel here, constructed in 1912. The project is to remove the stairs on the front of the house that are currently concrete and replace with wood stairs. Part of that project will include removing, not sure what the technical term is, but the sides of the porch, which are all brick. And they're not planning on, so the stairs is not part of the COA. The stairs are going to be painted. They're wood, they'll be painted. But the COA part is because they are not going to be replacing the brick. The reason for that is they're considering installing an accessible ramp in the future, which could not be done with the brick, I guess, sides of the porch. So if you go to the next.
Oh, that's my neighbor. That's right by my house.
So those are the, you can see the concrete stairs. In the middle, they're going to be replaced with wood. And then if you go to the next one, you'll get a shot of the sides of the porch that, again, are not going to be replaced with that brick.
Tim.
So this, if you want to keep going here. So again, if you want to, like this one, go back. So what is recommended is if you have masonry, original porches of masonry or patios and terraces with poured concrete floors. So port, that's not the one. There's one that talks about replacing masonry items.
Here.
Yes, replacing masonry elements with masonry elements. So that's what the design guidelines say. If you go to the recommendation, the idea of trying to have this home livable is the reason why we're recommending approving it, even though they're not going to be replacing the brick elements. And again, you know, same actions as before for the commission.
Can I ask what you mean by livable?
ADA compliant? So that the current homeowner can continue to live and utilize the property.
So the ramp we're talking about is like wheelchair?
Yeah.
Well, we don't have owner representation here either, so.
And they're not as right, so they're contemplating it, which is why they're not going to replace it. And so it's nothing, that part of it is not in front of the commission.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we got your head up before Ron, or are you guys close?
I need to ask him.
Right.
Well, I'm hesitant to remove the bricks on the sides of the stairs without a plan in place for what they plan to do in the future, maybe, you know, because they may or may not ever do it in the future, and that part of the front entrance of the house is gone.
Well, the history question I'll allow you to consider, because I brought this over to the History Center. I got a 1973 picture of the house, and when you look at the brick, as a historian, the brick doesn't match up with the brick on the foundation of the house, and generally they do, you know, with houses like this. So I'm not 100% sure that that brick, those brick sides are original to the house anyway.
The applicant also mentioned, the applicant mentioned that he thought that the brick wasn't original as well.
Right.
I wasn't sure whether or not that was.
When you look at the photograph, it's more of a, almost like a paving brick block.
Mm-hmm.
And, but again, if we're not sure about how to feel about this, we can certainly table this too.
Let's go take a field trip, guys.
I recommend field trips all the time, yeah, they're fun.
It's like in my backyard, so I'll take one there too.
So, yeah, you're the leader, okay.
I didn't realize I posted it.
So it's as simple as that, we could table it.
Would it be easier to, in the decision if the applicant was here?
That is also often a reason for tabling, because we'd like to have owner representation and get a little more information about the plan.
He was invited though.
What's that?
Yeah, I did ask the applicant if he could come, and he said he wasn't able to make it at this time. I don't know if that'll be different at the next meeting, or if, you know, because he generally has a.
Staff has a sense of urgency that this is like a critical situation that had to be fixed next week or 2 weeks on their part or something like that.
I'm not sure.
The stairs don't look great.
Do you have to get a permit to build one of those, or, you know, is there a way?
That would be, another reason to,
I don't know.
To, what's the word I'm thinking of, a little tiger? Table. Table, a new chair table, something. I'm the chair, this is the table. Anyway, is that there's an opportunity to do a little more research. There may be a building permit on file.
Yeah,
history records that for a staircase to be installed. Like if we had a little bit more definitive evidence that it wasn't later add-on, that might make the decision easier for the person.
I don't know, has there ever come up before about the ramps?
Mm-hmm.
Is there defining guidelines?
That, I was just thinking about that. So if the applicant were to come back and say, I they would have to be approved because they, for putting the ramp in. I don't know, we don't have anything in the guidelines.
I'm sure there's building code requirements for
ramps. Oh, yeah.
Ramps look
yeah.
Like
yep. Yeah,
for historic districts.
But generally, they tend to go over the existing stairs. They don't really require removal of them. So.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very short to the sidewalk, though.
I'd like to make a motion to table this due to we don't have enough information to work with. We would like some architectural drawings of what they plan on doing once they remove this, because we have no idea.
Other than what's in, there's hand-drawn.
Yeah, I saw it. We saw it. Everyone see the hand-drawing that are in here.
Yeah, but you can't leave a staircase open like that. It's not closed, so.
Yeah,
right. You mean like that? Yeah, there'd be like lattice or something.
Railing
that would be.
Or something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Set a ramp.
Yeah, they can't just put stairs
in
without
the future,
railing.
I believe
so.
Is what you said. Future ramp possibly, but it wasn't mentioned. There wasn't.
Yeah, they're contemplating it. Yeah.
So it's kind
right.
of in the dark.
Okay.
It does need a railing if it's over so high. So.
Yeah.
So what is that railing? Lots of questions.
Yeah, these are all really good questions, and we might have the benefit of a couple more commission members here too.
This is the rear door, or is this
the
front facing. Door? Is it?
No, this
it's street facing, but it appears like it's the rear when you're looking at it. Like,
well, this is what's quirky about this part of the Third Avenue, part of the historic district, is that because the roads kind of intertwined.
Yeah,
kind of
so cool. You don't know where the front is.
They wanted to develop this neighborhood. They just had to work with really unusual lots and shapes. So a lot of these houses have virtually no yard at all, like this one.
They really have no yard. In the back is just the alley.
Yeah, this is shoehorned in. You know, they're trying to maximize the real estate potential in the neighborhood that was developed.
Mm-hmm.
So it creates some great quirky historic things, but also creates some quirky unusual situations like this too for us to consider. But what makes that the formal entrance is the column. So they didn't have enough room to do a formal front, and even put the chimney in the front there, but. The house has a column on the corner behind the mailbox that's the sign architecturally that that's the front door.
It's strange. And they can't do what they want to do with still retaining those walls there. Is that what? You know what I mean? Can they just.
They're claiming the ramp can't go there.
From what I heard from the applicant, they said that. Those brick walls are what's causing the problem with the stairs. Like you can kind of see in that picture that the cement stairs are kind of caving in.
Gotcha.
And I believe it's because at least one of the walls is kind of falling inwards.
Yeah, they look a lot better in 73.
Yeah, yeah, you can kind of tell it's...
They're causing the problem, okay.
Yeah, that's...
But the stairs themselves look like the typical portable ones that people could buy starting in the 1950s, 1950s.
Drop right in there.
Drop in there and, but we don't know, they could have added the bricks on either side. And I actually used to know families living there many, many years ago, they were old classmates of mine. And they might even have some insight, you know, could have been a project they did or something like that. So the bricks could have been salvaged from somewhere else and they could be old brick papers and, you know, whatever. It'd be pretty quick, I think, before our next meeting, we could get enough additional information. So I can propose, I mean...
We need a second.
Yeah. So Tim's already recommended tabling. Ron, you second?
Yeah.
All in favor, tabling?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Steph?
I'll see if I can talk to them too, or neighbors. A lot of my neighbors know a lot about the streets around there, so see what I can gather.
Okay, last item under action items is looking at that one application under hold for the city-owned river intake station on near Jay Avenue. And as we heard during the public comment period, I'm also hearing a very, very increased interest in this. I've had a discussion with at least one of the city council members, Commissioner Todd, and he says he's open to the idea of looking at different options for this down the road, such as RFPs or just investigating more options for this. I've heard, I don't know how much the city staff has heard, but I'm getting approached by a lot of people that are even interested in purchasing it. But that's an option to get it off the city's responsibility. I'm getting questions about whether can it be moved? Can people see the inside of it to make a better determination to potentially acquire or talk to the city about different options? People want to know what options are available and what could be available. And I think until these are sorted out, all the more reason I think we have, I would recommend keeping it on hold until we have more discussions are done with staff, council, the community. I call it the mini-me building. I mean, it's like, it's just a mini-me of the water plant, and it's like a little castle room on the riverfront. And
I've always wanted to live in the
city. You've always wanted to live in there? But not like a hermit or a troll.
No. Yeah, well, maybe a troll.
So I don't know if staff can answer any of those questions about whether people can come visit it or see it or make a request to go see it.
Bruce, if you can.
Hey, Bruce, maybe this is where you can help us out.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm here, actually.
Okay.
Okay.
So where do you want me to start? With respect to options for the building, one of the reasons I asked Ed to bring this to the commission's attention when we did is to start this conversation. We've not hired an engineer yet to do any of the demolition planning, and that will be an exercise that's more to this than simply taking it down. There's a buried fuel tank that's God knows how old it is. There's what to do with the old pump equipment inside. There's a spiral staircase that may or may not be of any interest to anybody. But the fact of the matter is, the facility probably has only been used once in the last 50 years, and that was about 30 years ago for about a day or so during the 88-89
drought.
And as soon as they turned it on and ran it for about a day, and the taste and odor complaints began to pour into City Hall, they turned it back off again, and it hasn't run since. In the flood of 08, I didn't go down to look at this, we were busy with other things, but based on the data I've seen, I think the water went about 6 foot above the top of those stairs. And once you get inside the structure, there's no first floor. There's kind of a walkway around part of the perimeter, and then it's, I think, 13 or 15 feet down the pump room floor. So we kind of contemplated. We're not experts in how to move buildings, but when they moved the Czech and Slovak Museum, they have floor under that building that you could support everything from. But from what you see here, there's no first floor. The block work, the brickwork is all built on top of the concrete foundation walls that go down 15, 20 feet, something like that. So from our perspective, the only way to move the building would be to take it apart brick by brick, take them someplace and put them back up brick by brick. That's not in my budget. If somebody else wanted to try to do that and raise the funding, more power to them, I suppose. But that's kind of where we are with the building. It hasn't been maintained, it has not been used. It has been disconnected from the raw water piping that it used to feed the plant from. All that piping now runs to the other side of the building. In terms of simply selling the building on that lot, we can't sell the property because we have raw water mains under that property that are still used. And this is in the floodplain. And when they finish the flood protection system someday, the headwaters above the city in the event of a particular flood event are going to be higher than they are now because the flood control system will constrict the flow and kind of back it up. And they've calculated it'll back it up about 4 feet higher. So all the floodplain numbers go up 4 feet for this structure. And the numbers I've seen, based on the analysis that's been done so far, is whether it be 100, 200, 500, all those flood levels over top, the top of those stairs, in increasing amounts as the frequency of the flood gets. So there's really, it serves no function for us and has not for a very long time. In terms of its aesthetic value, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. I mean, we got the fence around it to keep the vandals out. The windows have been gone for, well, I came back to the city about 19 years ago, and I don't think there were windows in it then. So it's just never, it's just old technology that we do not use anymore. And again, haven't since about the summer of 61 when they started to develop the alluvial well field because of the taste and odor issues. When this was built in 1930, I suspect, and I've looked at reports from back in those days where they were looking at alternative water sources, the alluvial well field, deep wells, things like that. They settled on the river, I suspect, because it was the lowest cost option. And one of the prices the city paid for that was routinely through all the years you'd have taste and odor issues with water during the summertime. And they were typically a week or two long and then it'd be over with and people would go on with their lives. I think it was 60 or 61, it lasted for months. Quaker Oats was throwing away train loads of product. It was kind of a catastrophe. So that's what created the need for the well field, the development of the well fields, and the abandonment of this facility. So that's its history. We wanted to have a conversation. We don't know what all the alternatives are. We just know our resources are quite constrained, and there's limits to what I can recommend to the city council.
Well, yeah, I understand. Just to follow up on some of the things you said, is that if there are people out there with their own resources, they want to know if they can approach the city and use their resources to do something about this.
We're open to that conversation.
It's always great to hear that. And follow up on your comment on related to Check and Saw Museum. My wife worked there during the flood, and they had to create a lot of floor for that building to move it. Mm-hmm. They didn't really take a lot of the original floor because a lot of the terrazzo floors were left behind, you know, when they did that. So this could be elevated without a floor, because a lot of the Check and Saw Museum was elevated without its original floor. I don't know, is that something that you have a different opinion on? Or?
I
just remember after they lifted the Check and Saw Museum, all of its main lobby trials and floors were left behind at the old location, so it did not take the original floor with it.
All right.
So,
what we're looking at here for a building is basically just a shell.
Right, but it's a shell that is what is of historic interest to the community. This is a shell. People understand there's no interest in the innards of it and the function of what it was or even those kinds of components. It's the architectural, historic architectural value of the exterior walls. And so I think the community, because it's been in vacant for so many years, that a little bit more time is not going to make a difference at this
point.
We're
not hanging fire to do this.
So I think the community, from what I'm hearing, would appreciate a little more time to bring proposals forward with their financial resources to have a solution that will not affect the city's budget.
Yeah.
And things, which I think would be beneficial, to be win-win for everyone.
Right, I understand this hold expires on the 26th. It wasn't the intention when we brought it here to start the conversation to have a 60-day deadline necessarily. Again, you're correct, it has sat there for years, and it could sit there for forever, I suppose. It's just, we thought we had some other demolition projects going on that we were aware of, and kind of time to take care of some things.
Okay. Other commission members?
I know they have an ongoing development right across the street with all new housing. I'm just wondering if someone could pick it up, turn it around in all that new housing district, even if you use the facade to a bigger house behind.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, you've got a name stone up there that says 1930, Cedar Rapids, Cedar Rapids Intake Valve. There's pieces like that. There's parts of walls, sections, the whole thing. It could be moved as a whole, or I think there's just a lot of options that people are thinking about this out there, and it's good to hear that there is a possibility for them to approach the city about different options on that. And this whole thing has felt more like a preview of something that could be torn down rather than necessarily an impending demolition like most of our demolition reviews are. So, I mean, I'm glad to hear, I'm hearing reassurance that this is not like a lot of the demolition permit reviews we go over where the hold is over, and that's not the end of it. And I think that was the concern for a while there.
Yes, and part of that is I couldn't make that meeting. I had to be elsewhere to meet my granddaughter.
So. Yeah, we appreciate that. Yeah.
So, does any of this gentleman's new information change any of your existing information as far as interested parties, et cetera, now that you know a little bit more about?
Well, some of the people were asking if it could be opened up as a kind of a pavilion used for the parks. But I haven't seen inside, but you said it just has a drop, that there's no flooring.
It's just like the water plant. It's never been in there.
Pools. To give an update to the commission, so we did have a meeting with the Parks Department to talk about potential reuse that they may have, and they did not. There is an actual pavilion that was not, I believe, touched by the 2016 flood. That's literally feet away. That's not by, it's not 30 feet off an active railroad line.
Yeah. All right.
But you also, Adam, it's an open pavilion. You have removable outhouses. You have no changing rooms for people that are boating. There's a lot of things.
Right.
Now, granted, we can't even say the bridge in Beaver Park. So this is really taking on a monster. I don't mean that sarcastically. It's expensive. We know we can sit on that subcommittee, but again, I mean, this could be closed bathrooms, changing rooms. Could even, since it's 1930s, have a little museum for the Cedar River, for the water plant. I mean, there's lots of things that.
Is it possible to consider this as a follow-up to what we're doing with the Hubbard Ice property? You said we retain that one building, and it will also be in a floodable area.
Well, and we're still looking at the structural viability of being able to do that with that,
right.
And also the ADA
issues
along with that. So that I wouldn't be able to answer.
Okay. So everyone's aware of that, right? The Hubbard Ice property has all been torn down except for one structure, the homestead. And we're looking at the possibility of maybe retaining that and be on the west side of a flood protection system, but then there's potential for interpretation or having a physical presence of the history that's there. And is there a possibility that this could function in the same way on the other side of the river as a physical representation of something that helps tell a story still from the side of the river?
I would like to leave it on hold, even if it's just for 3 more days or 2 days. But I'm encouraged by you saying that you're not hellbent to tear it down and that there's room to talk about it. Because that's encouraging to me, because some of these things seem like just a monstrous ordeal, but they end up turning out to be really neat projects.
Mm-hmm.
even if you are talking about the 4 foot or 5 foot flood water, it could be made to where it could be mopped out or, you know. So it's going to be changing rooms or, I just think a little more research and we have a little more time.
So I'm hearing that the city's not opposed to somebody coming into our city for options for this. Potentially their own resources. Who do they approach first to help?
Start with me.
Start with you. And give us your full name again.
Here, give you a card.
Right, perfect. And then, so we start with you, and then we kind of move the process on from here. Very good.
Yeah, I'm Bruce Jacobs, and I'm the engineering manager for the utilities department.
Okay, great.
Are you Laura's husband?
Pardon?
Are you Laura's husband?
No.
Okay. Any questions for Bruce about this? I mean, leaving a hold on it, it's not going to make a difference one or the other, I think, at this point. Now that we know it's a long term, I think options are open for the community to come to the city to discuss possibilities. And there's not an urgency like we generally face with these potential demolitions. So I think we'll just leave the hold on unless there's an objection for us to come to members.
And just to clarify, it's on hold for another month.
Yes.
It goes off in November.
11/26.
Yeah.
And we will certainly encourage the community to contact Mr. Jacobs. And
I can tell you right now,
yeah,
if I was made of money, I would donate my power to move or to save it. Because I've been in love with this building since I was a little boy. We used to go to Schaefer Park, we used to go on the river. And to this day, when I go down to Sep Pavilion, I still love that building, even with the trees growing on the roof. It's just, and you said I used to be I'm just always, and I love the fact that it matches the water plant so well.
It was built at the same time.
Right.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that when they add on to the water.
You know that's the same architect?
Yes.
V.A. Madison, whoever that person was, is named on the plan sheets for this building, and it's in the plan set with JMU plant, but I don't remember him showing up on the. So.
Certainly.
I suspect it was the same architect.
Yeah.
And I was working as a sub to Albert Burdick and House, and it was the engineering firm out of Chicago.
Yeah. And I was thrilled when you guys, I don't know how long ago, 8, 9, 10 years ago, when you added on to the existing water plant, that you can't tell you added on to it. You did everything architecturally to match.
If you have time, I have a funny story for you about that. And our experience with the State Historic SHPO, Historic Preservation Office.
Wonderful.
That was a hilarious story. They wanted to hold the project up and reject it because the addition looked too much like the
19th.
Yeah, that was our reaction.
Yeah, yeah.
Mouth agape, eyes got big.
Well, that sometimes when you want to put a building in a historical district, sometimes they do want to make it look different, so you know it's not.
Right, or a slight difference of some kind, like a little setback from the.
I think they eventually realized they were making themselves look silly and worked out a compromise there.
Well, I'm thrilled it looks the same because I think anything.
Thank you, because we worked hard to make that happen.
But that is sometimes looked down upon.
Well, and it's that love for the architecture of the main plant. And people know it's one of the jewels of the city. Very much admired, very much loved. Mm-hmm. That the same love of that and that quality of life issue is how a lot of people feel about the little building here, too. And so I know that it's an eye of the beholder thing, but we should recognize that. As a city community, there's a lot of people in the community that have a lot of a lot of interest in this building, and that should be acknowledged.
When this came before us originally, I was wondering if it could be moved up closer to your other building and could be used as offices or something, or storage, or anything that it would, because it is so architecturally like
really cramped for space on the site.
I'm just trying to think outside the box, to not see this go.
Right, but at the same time, if I and other commission members are hearing that there are people wanting to invest their own capital in something, so it's not a city expenditure for the outcome of this, that should be investigated, and that should be. It sounds like there's an opportunity for that to allow to happen, and those outside private investment are willing to do that.
And also from a political standpoint,
politics.
We just had a rash of these structures being turned down in the last couple of years, recently, as many as 3 and 4 or 5 of them. So
and also makes us, at least I think it's good that it makes us look like we're doing our due diligence to do everything, and just like the Scobrin Building, we've done over backwards, we tried to get them to use the facade of the Beaver Building as the entrance to their building, and they had their ideas, and that was a personal property thing, but at least it makes us show that we're doing our best as a commission to try to save things that are here.
Well, and again, we haven't even hired the engineer to do this thing yet. I wanted to get the conversation started. Where I will ultimately want to come to some understanding is how long do you take to sort this stuff out? Do you think 6 months would be?
We can tell you from past experience when people have made that investment into current plans to move and relocate a structure like this, that they do need up to about 2 years. Mm-hmm.
But as far as just coming to closure, this is what we're going
to
do.
Like coming to a plan, this is what's going to happen to it.
Do you think 6 months would be enough time?
I would. 6 months is very great.
I think that's very good to get a plan in place. I think that's a great timeline. Right. And then beyond that, if a move is likely, for instance, as a possibility, that's been generally the average amount of time it's really
going
to be.
It's not going.
Right, that's what I mean. So that's kind of the timeline I think all of us have in our heads on a different outcome of the building right there. So I mean, nothing certain, nothing definite, but.
But if we were to come across someone in that 6 month period that did want to purchase or with the agreement worked out between the city and wanted to move it, that can take 12 months to 2 years.
Yeah, so after the 6 months.
Yeah. I'm not looking for.
Right. You just wanted to say.
You just want to know.
I want to know what do we plan for?
Yeah, what do we plan for? And then we can start the implementation that would take 2 years. Yeah.
I was going to say, we don't know for sure if a private person buys that, what they're going to do with it. Mm-hmm.
They can't because they need the property underneath. Oh, you mean like the actual.
Well, they may move it out of town. Mm-hmm. I mean, there could be a lot of things that happen to it that
that's another discussion, yeah. Of course, yeah. But that, we'll have to see what.
But even if that was the case, Ron, I'd rather see it in Omaha, Nebraska than in the dumpster.
What?
In the landfill. So, okay. So we're all in agreement. We can go on hold. And
thank you for coming and giving us more
clarity. Yeah, thank you enough for coming in. And
I apologize, I missed the last one.
Well, that's quite all right. This has been very helpful.
We were going to fire you, but we didn't know your name. So.
Thanks. Okay. Jump right up to discussion items, which of course is our ongoing proactive preservation. Did you have anything formally to say, Adam?
No.
I wanted to bring
up. Well, we're thinking about, I don't know if you're aware of the Guaranty Bank building downtown.
Yes, I was going to bring
it. Seems like there's been no discussion about that, but the city's, that's been saved and is going to be redeveloped.
But in addition to that, we're hearing the story we all read in the paper was that there's hotel development plan for there, which would. The statements were made that the Guaranty Building and the World Theater would be included, and those are major contributing structures to Cedar Rapids. It's already been documented. There was talk about putting potentially a new hotel structure. We know there's a lot of vacant parking lots on the block, but I personally was concerned that there was no mention of another empty building on the block, which is the former Dragon Chinese restaurant building. Is there a way before next meeting that we can make this an agenda item and get an update on what's the status of that building?
We can do a presentation on what the project is.
Because we also read that discussions are in the works with the city, with the hotel developer, with the owners of Cedar Rapids Bank of Trust, so it sounds like more information will be collected by that point anyway. And we just wanted to remind the staff that all three buildings, Guaranty Bank, World Theater, Meskwaki, Dragon Building, are of equal historic importance. And we didn't want to have a situation where only two are being discussed up to a certain point, and that we do have an interest because all three of them really have. And we also notice that there's a situation here where, similar to the recent Beaver Building situation, there's an economic development authority backing on this. And there was some concerns about that. Financial support happening, and at the same time, we lost historic resources as a result of that as well. So we don't know. We just don't know what's happening with the third historic building. It hasn't been mentioned yet. Could be a lot of options. Maybe it's a later, separate project. Is it something that could potentially be incorporated to what's happening with the new construction and the other two buildings? We would just like to be included in what's the latest information that you have been able to been privy to at that point, and so we can kind of emphasize that proactive and keep kind of moving forward at this early stage of this really important downtown development, which I think everyone's excited about new hotel construction and restoration potential, but I just don't, alarm
we don't want to lose anything on the...
No, I mean, at the expense of, I mean, on the surface it sounds like saving two buildings and not a third one, sounds like better odds, but at the same time, they're all three equally important, and I just wanted to personally emphasize that the concern and interest in that third structure that has also been owned by Guaranty Bank, like the World Theater, mm-hmm. and...
Adam, do you guys know, it's kind of outside the box again, but what the booking rate has been with the existing hotel? Are they booked up most of the time?
Yeah, I think someone checked the other day and it was all booked up and the room rate was like over $200, I think.
I know, with our, we have four Airbnbs and we get a lot of that stuff. And mm-hmm. the guy wanted to stay at ours four nights, but he couldn't, the second night, and they were booked. Yeah. But then they had a cancellation, so he stayed last night down there, and now he's back with us tonight, the next yeah. night. I was just wondering what the hotel, and this is out of our jurisdiction, but I just wonder about overbuilding as far as condos, apartments, where all these people are coming from that are going to house in these places. Yeah.
I mean, in terms of the housing, we're doing well. We're not oversaturated.
Yeah.
A lot of the new development is being, either rented or bought if they're mm-hmm. owner-occupied. So that's not an issue. And we're also, we as a city, we do a housing needs analysis every year to make sure that we're not in that issue of overbuilding. And then, as it goes to the hotel where it's private, you would assume that they've done their due diligence because there's loans involved. Yes. So, they wouldn't build a hotel, or you would hope they wouldn't, and then have it, that there's too much.
But I know we had an impact with the recent closing of the Cooper's Mill, Best Western, in the downtown area. We actually did have two hotel facilities, and now we're down to one. So
that's all we have is a DoubleTree downtown.
All we have is DoubleTree in the downtown core right now.
The Mount Rose.
Roosevelt?
Roosevelt.
No, it's apartments.
No, not Roosevelt.
I love that.
You can't stay at the Roosevelt.
Montrose. They don't
look anywhere. Montrose has been gone for 30 years.
You might as well mention the other ones they killed down there too.
It's just a kid.
Don't get me started. Okay. All right. Okay, that was the proactive situation I was most. The other development issue you may have heard about in the news is down in Newbow. It's the Loftus Lumber Block. But I don't know of any historic preservation concerns that I'm aware of in 9th and 10th Avenue, 3rd Street, and 4th Street tracks.
And that will greatly improve the area by cleaning that site up, regardless of whether any of those are historic. That block needs it.
Proactive preservation, anyone else?
Do you want to say anything about the bridge as far as where we're at on that?
Okay, some subcommittees or
We met Monday. Reviewed letter that will be sent out to solicit funds. Also talked about just kind of strategy going forward. If the funding goal was not reached, what would be done? And, so, I don't know if there's anything else that.
So, are other commission members allowed to raise funds with us, or are we like totally separate entities?
Oh, I think anyone can.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it's not limited to only certain people.
Yeah.
So we're going to finalize the letter next meeting, which is in 2 weeks.
Okay.
And then that's done.
I also had reached out to a lady today, a client that's done fundraising. She asked if people could join, be on the committee, and I said no, but you could act as, I said I'd have to check, but I think you can act as a volunteer for the committee as far as fundraising, because she had a lot of really good ideas and a lot of contacts. She's done this for a living.
What do you mean, just in terms of providing information, as here's some strategies?
I wanted Cindy to reach out to... kind of like what they did with Old McDonald's Farm. That was done by the Women's League, I believe, that did Old McDonald's Farm.
Junior
League. Junior League, okay. That type of stuff that we might not be thinking about. Mm-hmm. And if it's okay,
if it, like, she asked me, does it have to be just your committee that's calling people, or can the public do it? And I said, no, I think anyone can help. I mean, volunteers are more than doing it.
Yeah.
I was going to check that tonight, so I brought it up, but.
Yeah.
There's also a park foundation that raises money for the parks and stuff too, which it would be a good group to hit up too.
And actually, we'll have someone from the Parks Commission, which I know it's not their name anymore, but from that group coming to talk about some fundraising they've done.
But we think we're getting everything in order. We think we're going to be able to actually kick off the fundraising within 2 weeks possibly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We just needed 2 more weeks to shore everything up. There's a lot of things, like it's $165,000, this is a ballpark price, what's going to cost. And we were concerned by what if you don't, and you guys were there on my time. If you don't raise the money, what do you do with it? So I've been getting, on the money I've collected, about $250 so far. I'm getting names, emails, numbers, so that can be given back, or they want to donate it to, like, the Friends of the Park, says whatever that is.
That comes going forward, it's great.
But I do need a video from you.
I'll get it. And then Ron and I have had a recent meeting with you on the priority list, and that's when I think you bring additional information.
So I sent out that updated list a couple days ago, so having the subcommittee members add anything they can think of, and next meeting is mid-November.
Yeah, we're moving forward. Do we have any formal announcements from city staff? No. Oh, the other thing I was going to mention is that real briefly, we talked about with the holiday is coming up, ECC meeting schedule. The second Thursday of November is the 8th, but then the 4th is Thanksgiving, and
I'm going to have to know way in advance as soon as possible if you're going to have another night, because I booked these out all for a year, because I'm booked 2 months out.
You mean if we have a special one on the 29th?
So this I would know, so right. I can try to rearrange clients.
So the issue would be is if we received
right.
a demo app,
right.
there's 15 days
we don't want
for the commission
month,
to review that, and if it's... If they don't, then they have no.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I might have to do a phone in or something just to make, if you need form.
Do we still need 5 people for the special meeting?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so everyone knows that, because otherwise we might have a regular meeting between November 8th and December 13th, and that's over a month. Mm-hmm. So that's my concern.
So would the commission like us to just move it to the 29th, and then we play it by ear? In terms of what shows up, and if we have to have a special meeting?
We'll just try to have as much quiet. I would like to move it to the 29th just so we have 2 meetings in November, because then it's still going to be another 2 weeks until the 1st December meeting on the 13th.
Yep.
So we kind of keep a 2 month of schedule. And then the second one in December, I presume we would still have it on the 27th between the holidays, or?
Yeah, I believe so.
There's the city's not offering it. Okay.
Well, I'm already this far out. One of them's Amanda, so she would be willing, I'm sure.
Sure.
I'd have 2 people I'd have to move, so as soon as I know, the sooner I know, the better, if that's what you're going to do.
So,
well, if we can do it, I mean, tomorrow. If you guys want us to change it to the 29th, we'll send out a calendar invite to get that.
And then not have anything, we just don't meet.
Correct. Yeah.
Exactly.
And then
that's right. Yeah.
The other side of that is if we do get something in, that we're going to be butting up against that 15 days, we'll have to do a special meeting.
Right. So we may get a special meeting notice anyway.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
But again, it's important that we're notified about that. So is that interesting? The years I've been on commission, we've had times of this year where we just didn't have a meeting because we just wasn't anything to review. So
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Okay. Thank you, Tim. Second.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, everyone. Appreciate it.
Thank you.